We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, a very special prayer given to us by Jesus as a model for all the conversation that we would have with him. That design is beautifully captured, series of contents, a framework that we can speak to God through. And this morning, we have finally crossed the line that I suspect some of you were looking forward to. It's a prayer that's largely written in two halves, and we've crossed that line to go from our introduction, our approach to God, to dealing with other things. If you have a quick scan through the verse, through the verses which are the Lord's Prayer, you can see the two halves characterized by two words, one which characterizes the first, one the second. The word that characterizes the first half is your name, your kingdom, your will. And the word that characterizes the second half is us. Give us, forgive us, lead us. So we spent time, Jesus encourages us as we come to our God in conversation, in prayer, to recognize who it is that we're coming to hallow his name, to think about his kingdom, his will, to think about those things which are his perspective. But in the process, that lays the ground for us to then bring more wisely, more spiritually, our own petitions. And that's what we're going to deal with today in this next section. We talk about our daily bread, our forgiveness. There are three petitions that we're going to be thinking about. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. All about us. Three things that cover three different areas. They cover our provision, they cover pardon, and they cover protection. Did you notice those three things? And as you look at those three things then actually cover the whole of our life, don't they, if you think about it? Provision covers our present. Pardon covers the past. Protection is all about the future. But doesn't it also deal with the whole of our personal life too? So provision is about the body. Pardon is about the soul. Protection is about the spirit. And if you're thinking about that one, we'll consider that in a few weeks' time. So today, we'll look at that, and I've put all three together to recognize the complexity, but the all-encompassing nature of this stunning prayer. This is so much more than just a prayer that we repeat word for word as a matter of rote without really thinking about the contents. Whatever you might want to bring to God and discuss with him in life, whatever you should bring, is covered in this simple but astonishingly detailed prayer when we start to unpick it. And that's what we're going to do. And today, we're going to look at the first of those. Give us today our daily bread. And if we are honest with ourselves, I suspect that for many, 90% of our prayer covers this. We tend to ask God for things. Dear Lord, it's good to be with you, but I've got this, I need this, he's ill, and so on. Well, we're going to look at that in a little bit more detail. So we finally get to our needs. Give us today our daily bread. First thing, what are we asking for? Well, the word itself means bread. Just normal, ordinary bread. Some people make the suggestion, surely in a prayer as reverent as this, it must mean something more spiritual. Could daily bread be speaking about Jesus? the living bread. Could it be? Hang on. Others might say maybe it's got something to do with communion. Communion bread draws us close to you. We need more of Jesus. We need more to be part of your family, Lord. Only this. The word simply means bread. The stuff you stick in your toaster and have butter on in the morning with your marmalade or whatever you do. Bread. It really is as ordinary as that. But that's the point. Jesus is encouraging us to bring all the ordinary things of life. And of course, in Scripture, bread is a symbolic word which also covers all of our physical and material needs. We're being encouraged that whatever we might be going through, whatever our circumstances, to bring all of these things to the Lord. That does something really powerful, which is why we need to get our attitude and our perspective right on this. Which is why the first half of the Lord's Prayer speaks about God and recognizing Him first. Because when we start to bring all of the things in life, all of our material, all of our physical, all of our emotional and spiritual needs to God, we begin to recognize that He is God in all of those things. So when we say, Lord, give us our daily bread, give us all the things that we need in life, we're also recognizing our dependence and our reliance on God. This is so much more than, I've got a problem, I need you to give me an answer. This is recognizing God in every part of our lives. So this is far more than just a prayer request. It's an invitation to see God and His perspective in everything. And if that's what our petition is about, how do we pray it? Well, I want to give you just four words that are really, because I want this to be practical. I want this to be able to take it away and put it into practice. So four words. And the first of these words is gratitude. These words are all about our attitude in coming to God and asking Him to deal with our needs. And the first, gratitude, is about recognizing that all good things come from God and saying thank you for them. It's about expressing our appreciation for His provision and saying, thank you, Lord, thank you. That's how the Apostle Paul spoke to the Philippian church and told them to pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With thanksgiving. Do you do that? When you come to God, do you thank Him for everything? Or do we just say, Lord, I need this? I want to encourage us to be so much more thankful when we approach God. Yesterday, I was thinking about the day that we had, and I just thought about this morning, and I was thinking, yeah, I can just roll off a whole series of thank yous. And if you can do that, if you can come to God in conversation, beginning with this process of just saying thank you for what He's given you, it helps you put into context those things that you might not have. So I was thinking, Lord, thank you for that beautiful day that we had yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that it was warm enough to get out and do the myriad of jobs in the garden that I've been hanging over and I thought I was never going to get to before Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for temperatures so warm that we could sit outside in the garden and eat our bowl of soup yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that Lorinda and I both have health sufficient enough to do the jobs that we were doing. And as I just think about it, thank you, Lord, that we were so shattered at the end of the day that I had a really good night's sleep. Maybe that's a lesson for me every single Saturday. Come here prepared in the morning. Thank you, Lord, that we have a bed to sleep in that's comfortable and a home and a garden to enjoy. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us those things. thank you that I've got a church to come and be blessed by and hopefully to bless. And so it goes on. Mm. Do you thank God for the things that he's given you? There's an encouragement here to come with an attitude of thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to do that. To thank God when you start in your prayers. And I know that down the road there is going to be this, thank you, Lord, but I've got to go to the hospital and I know I've got this thing and I'm really draining. But before you get to that, thank God. And I think you'll see something change. You'll start to recognize that God who's given you so much and you begin to trust he'll give you what you need. So trust him. Thank God. Just try it. See if you can thank God for 20 minutes for all the stuff around you, all the people around you, the circumstances. Thank him even when things are difficult, because you know the difficulty, I'm going to learn a lesson, etc. Thank him. If you can make it to 20 minutes, then well done. Then do another 20 minutes. And you'll transform your prayer life with God. Of course, it's easy for us to think in this day and age, hang on, why do I need to thank God for some of these things in life? I provided them. I paid jolly well good money for the bread that's on my table. I provided that. I'm the one who worked the hours. I'm the one who made sure I had a fantastic pension. No, let's not go there. In case you might be tempted to think that way, let me read some verses from Deuteronomy to you. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So maybe you can thank God for your skills. You can thank God for your cooking ability. You can thank God for your intellect, etc. Our prayer should be full of thanksgiving. So gratitude is number one. Number two, contentment. Contentment with what God has provided for you. The clue comes in the final word, bread. We don't say in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily stick Diane, or ribeye steak with all the trimmings, a bit of mustard and so on. And then, Lord, if you just top it off afterwards with that lemon drizzle pudding and the coffee and walnut cake, or maybe even a bit of date slice. A little nod to the barber if you were there at the funeral on the morning. He says, bread. Give us today our daily bread. The ordinary. The things we need. It is a prayer about need, not greed. And Jesus gives us an example of that. He did this himself in the way that he prayed, in the way that he lived his life. He would go sometimes to some very fancy parties and celebrations and weddings, but when he tended to prepare food himself, it was bread, it was fish, it was ordinary. He invites us to pray according to our needs and trust that God knows our needs. He knows. If you can come to him in prayer with contentment and have been prepared for whatever he will give to us, you will also grow your faith and trust in him to provide. Not that there's anything wrong with a good ribeye steak occasionally, or lemon drizzle cake. God often gives us those things too. Thank you, Barbara. But it's good to get a balance in our prayer life. And there's a verse, a couple of verses in Proverbs that really help us with this. Let me put these up. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my Lord. Isn't that interesting? And in this day and age, in our very rich Western society, it is very easy for us to forget God in his provision and to do the first. Think that we've provided things and so say, well, who's the Lord? Who needs the Lord? I think it's a great attitude to be able to pray, to make this petition of God and actually say, don't make me too rich or too poor, but give me whatever you think I need, Lord. That's humility, isn't it? That's contentment. And I come back to that verse we mentioned so often. The Lord invites us to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with him. 3. Confidence. Confidence in the Lord to provide. There's another really significant word in this prayer, and it's that word, daily. Daily. Give us our daily bread. This prayer doesn't invite us to look forward. Lord, organise my finances for the future so that when I'm retired in 28 years' time, if I can afford to by then, I will be looking just fine, thank you very much. No, daily bread. To be content with today, our needs today, now. Those things at this point in time. Human beings are interesting, aren't we? We are people who always like to look to the future and plan and worry about the future. We just love to deal with things, and so we stress about things that so often don't even happen. What am I going to do when I take my car in for that service? What happens if this thing is going to fail on this? What am I going to do about that? What should I do about it? Have a hospital appointment. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go for my hospital appointment tomorrow? Where should I find a parking space? I wonder whether the parking space will be too far away. Will I find the right door to go in and find the hall? Will my name be on the list? And we worry about all these things, and so we don't sleep at night. We go, we're shattered. Because we're shattered, we make the wrong mistake, go to the wrong place. Daily bread. The experience of the children of Israel gives a really interesting pointer to how God wants us to live on this. Do you remember, it comes from Exodus 16, and the people of Israel have just been released from captivity in Egypt. Wow. What a story and incident they've just been through. So they've come out of captivity. They've come across the desert. They've crossed the Red Sea, which has been parted. What must that have looked like? You're going to think, wow, I'll never forget that as long as I live. They cross, then their enemies come, and the waters close in, and their enemies completely wiped out. Wow, God's done it again. Amazing. These people never forget that for about a day. And then they start grumbling. Hungry. Not got water, have I? And they grumble to God, and they grumble through Moses. And they say to him, at least when we were in Egypt, we had food, we had bread on the table, so much for miracles, where was my bread? And so God gave them manna and quail. But he gave them really strict instructions. The manna and quail would be there every day, but they were only to go out and take enough for one day. Apart from the Sabbath, the day before, they were to take 2 days worth. Otherwise, just one day, enough for the family. And if they took more than that, then the quail would get all maggoty and the manna would start to rot. God teaching his people. What is he teaching them? He's teaching them trust. If tomorrow God would provide for that day as well. Slowly, slowly, they learn trust. Boy, do we need to learn this lesson. To trust God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And that was the lesson that Jesus also taught that brings me to the reading that Sam gave to us. Because that reading comes immediately after the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. We read later on, the end of Matthew 6. And the Lord speaking to the people says to them, why do you worry about your life, your food, your clothes? Look at the birds of the air and see how God provides. Who by worrying can add a single hour to their life? Look at the lilies of the field, even Solomon in all his splendor wasn't as impressive as these. And then that verse that's a particular note. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And if you were here 2 weeks ago when we had our harvest service, you'll know that one of the things that we pointed out was that we tend to worry about the future, and so we have insurance policies for everything. We have insurance policies for life, car, house, pets. And now, not only that, even though we've got so much money we can afford to put new appliances, we insure the appliances in the house, so that if they go wrong, we can replace them. Who needs God when you've got all those things? Jesus says something different. He also reminds us you never know what the future will bring. But this is about coming back and trusting God to provide. The prayer challenges us to take life one day at a time. Which brings me to the final word I want to give to you. Generosity. An attitude of generosity. And the need for generosity is screamed out at us by the smallest word in this line. Give us today our daily bread. It doesn't say give me my daily bread. Give us today. In an age where individualism and self-interest encouraged, this prayer invites us to remove that selfishness and pray for the needs of the community beyond. It is a prayer for us. It's a petition that invites our prayers to look outward, to be bigger, to have a broader perspective. It takes us out of that narrow focus on me and my problems and opens us up to the real needs of a community around us. So the world says, look after number one. And God says, give, and it will be given to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you remember the warning that James gave about faith, our faith being real, and the gap that can exist between having kind ideas and actually having a positive action to do something about it? Let me read it to you. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Give us today our daily bread invites us to think about the needs of other people around us. And in that process, in that act, with an attitude of saying, Lord, here are my prayers. Lord, I know that my brother and sister, Bill and Molly, who are not here today, Lord, I know that they are struggling, so would you just bless them, Lord, in their situation? And then there's that person, and you know, there's Pat who's travelling to an airport to pick someone up today. Lord, would you bless Pat's journey for safety? Just as you think about others, you broaden your perspective away from just me. And you never know, it might just put our woes and our needs in a bigger context. And sometimes when we're going through real challenges, it does help us to put those things in context, and we see how God is dealing with other people's circumstances too. Four words, four attitudes that come with this invitation to bring our daily needs before God. An attitude of gratitude to God for all the blessings that he's given to us. Thank him. Contentment with what he's given to us. That puts our needs into a context. Confidence that he will provide if we invite him to do so. And generosity, an attitude of prayer towards other people. I wish the first letters of those words said something beautiful like love, but they don't. They say, so I can't help you to remember them any more than the words themselves do. But I don't want to just be trivial about that. I want to encourage you to try to put these things into practice and change your prayer life with God and invite